I'm on my way to Israel. That's why I'm here. They asked me to come, and I'm so, well, it worked out. It's fine, even though I'm flying out of Newark. It's really fine. So there are 600 women from 26 different countries are meeting me there tomorrow. And thank God. It's unbelievable what's happening. We brought 13,000 women so far, and we are partnering with the Ministry of Diaspora Affairs in Israel. We're speaking to the Prime Minister's office. This whole thing started in 2008, and it's really taken off. It's really quite amazing. So our head office is in Rockville, Maryland, which is not Baltimore. No, it's not Baltimore. Is it Silver Spring? No, it's not Silver Spring. It's Rockville, Maryland, which is actually very close to Washington, D.C. So we have 35 people working in the office there now. We have branches, whatever. We have offices in Denver and also in in Tel Aviv. So when I first moved to the Washington, D.C. area, which was almost 13 years ago, it was a little disconcerting. Why? Because I was always getting lost. Why was I getting lost? Okay, this is before our phones, got us everywhere. I was getting lost because the main highway in Washington, D.C. is called what? The Beltway. And the Beltway is called the Beltway because it's shaped like a belt. So I grew up in Toronto. Anybody here from Toronto? Woo! Okay, so I grew up in Toronto, and the 400 goes north and south, the 401 goes east and west, and you always know what direction you're in. On the Beltway, you don't know. Even the locals, who pretend they know, don't know. I have a friend, Rebecca, who I met when I first got there. She grew up in the area, in D.C., and I said to her, Rebecca, on the radio, when they talk about the traffic report and they talk about the inner loop and the outer loop, what does that mean? She goes, I have no idea. Okay. So when I first got there, it's so funny because I just left my husband and we're actually moving out of the house we're in right now with a lot of boxes. But when I first got there 13 years ago, it was surrounded by boxes, 5 kids. I was like, okay, a little bit crazy. The Talmud says, all beginnings are hard. And the Talmud is right. Whether you're beginning a relationship or you're beginning a new job or you're beginning anything, all beginnings are hard. So it was a little bit hard, but I heard that there was a kosher, this is not New York, okay? Anything kosher is like a big deal. So there was a kosher Krispy Kreme on the other side of town and near this hospital. And I was like, let's go get kosher Krispy Kreme donuts, yay. Okay, so my kids are all excited. We get into the car and off I go. And I started getting lost, and I was getting more lost and more lost and more lost. And do you ever get lost and you just, you really like, and you're trying to get unlost and you just get more lost in, again, before we had our phones. And that's what was happening. And it was getting dark and my kids were getting, and at one point I pulled over and I said to my husband, I called up my husband and I said, Yaakov, I don't know where I am, but come and get me. That's really. And thankfully he did. And then somebody bought me a GPS and my whole life changed. I have to tell you, I'll admit that I used to be very, very critical of the whole NASA thing, okay? Like billions of dollars they're spending to throw stuff up into space and children are starving on this planet. It was all worth it for the GPS. If it wasn't for the GPS, I wouldn't be here now. I'd be lost somewhere. So the first time I used this GPS, and it was an old clunky GPS, first time I used it, I was driving from Rockville to Baltimore because a friend of mine in Denver, her father had passed away, and I was going to the funeral. So as I'm using the GPS, I realize this is a tremendous metaphor for life. So first of all, that little lady in the box is my BFF. I love her. What happens when you get lost? Well, if you take the wrong turn, what does she do? Does she look at you askance? Does she? Recalculating. She gets you there. She gets you back, even if you make a mistake. I love her. But as I'm using it again, I realize, oh my gosh, this is a tremendous muscle, a tremendous metaphor for life. We all have a GPS built inside us, comes from the factory, and that's our God positioning system. It's our neshama. It's our soul. And just like the GPS in your car can't work unless you do certain things, so too the GPS inside us. What's the first thing you have to do for the GPS in your car? Not yet. Before the destination. You got to turn it on. Hello. You got to turn it on. So too the GPS inside you. Mode ani lefanecha, melechai vikayam sherzalta banishmasi, bachemla roba amunasecha. We wake up every morning, and the first thing we do is turn on. Thank you, God, for restoring my soul. Great is your faithfulness in me. You have faith that I'm going to take this day and live it to its fullest. That's how we start every day. We turn it on. We turn on. Then what do you have to do? Now you have to put in your destination. You got to put in where you're going. If you don't put in where you're going, your GPS can't get you there. So too with your life. Where are you going in your marriage? Where are you going with that child? Where are you going in your Judaism? Where are you going as a fill in the blank? If you don't know where you're going, God can't get you there. So now got it on, it's turned on, my GPS in my car, and I'm put in where I'm going, and I'm getting a little overconfident, okay? So I'm like drinking my Starbucks with one hand, and I'm driving with the other hand, and I'm on the phone, and the radio's on, don't try this at home, and then my best friend in my BFF said something, and I missed it. Why? Because I wasn't listening. I was distracted. The Almighty is always trying to help us to make the right turns in life, in every aspect of our life, and we're not listening. We're distracted. We have very, very busy minds. And He does everything He can to get us to make the right turn. Because on the journey of our lives, it is just not straight and smooth. Have you noticed that? There's some bumps along the way. There's hazards. There's flashing reds. There's detours. And sometimes you get lost. There are things that prevent us from having that clarity to know which way to turn. And one of them is that we are consumed with not being here. I have found that no matter where I speak in the world, that people are basically divided into two types of people. There are the people who are really living in the past, and there are people who are living in the future. Now, try to be honest. Where does guilt, revenge, and blame live, past or future? Past. Where does worry, fear, and anxiety live, past or future? Future. Okay, so try to be honest. Put up your hand. How many of you are primarily past people? Oh, I should have invested in that, and I can't believe it, and I'm still angry at. Okay. How many people are future people? Woo! How many people are both? Get help. Who is a past person? Put up your hand if you were a past person. Past person. Past person? Hi. What is your name? Arlene. Arlene, show me the past. Can you show it to me? Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Can you show it to me? Can you bring it here? Why? It's gone. It's over. Arlene, like, future person? It was like three quarters of the room. What's your name? Nancy. Can you show me the future? Why? You can't show it to me. Why? Hasn't happened yet. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the insanity. We are spending an unbelievable amount of time, headspace, emotion, resources, either dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, and they don't exist. It's illusion. How many things did you ever worry about that never happened. Well, that was a good use of time, space, emotion, and resources. It never even happened. So we're living in the past or dwelling on the past and worrying about the future. They don't even exist. It's illusion. The only reality is what? Present, right now, today. And we're never here. Thank God for Shabbat, for Shabbos. If it wasn't for Shabbos, which forces you to be here, which provides the environment and the framework to help you to be present. And even on Shabbos, we're like, you know, there's a concept that on Shabbos, you're not even supposed to talk about things that are going to happen after Shabbos. You can't say like, oh, by the way, on Wednesday, and my kids will go Shabbos. Because you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be present. The Almighty says, one day, be here. And it takes work to be present. It doesn't just happen. Because we have busy minds. I have a very busy mind. I don't know about you, but woohoo, what's going on in there? I don't mean intelligent. I mean busy. Lots of voices, lots of things going on. When I learned this wisdom, I had to learn to be present. So most of you put up your hand, and it's worry, fear, and anxiety, and it's the future. And even though we're dragging the past into our present, and it's holding us back, that we haven't forgiven people, that we haven't forgiven ourselves, that we're still second-guessing things. And if you could replay or you could rewrite history, go ahead, but it's a big waste of time. But worrying about the future, so you're probably thinking, Lori, if you knew my life, and if you knew what I was dealing with right now, you wouldn't just be like, just be present. I know you have stuff, and so do I, believe me. I have to tell you, on my video blog, so people often would write comments about on the video blog. They write comments, and I have to tell you, I read all the comments. I rarely write back, rarely. But I read every comment, and sometimes they're very angry about what I said, and sometimes the other people are defending me, and then they're fighting each other, and I'm just watching. Every once in a blue moon, I will write back. So a while ago, I don't even remember what the video blog was about. A while ago, somebody wrote as a comment, very nice, Lori, but you don't have my life. Your life is perfect, but I'm dealing with this, 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 and this. So who are you to say? I wrote back. And I said, excuse me, I have challenges in every aspect of my life just like you. Health, wealth, relationships. But I choose to see them as the Almighty's opportunity for me to grow. You are blaming and complaining and wallowing in self-pity. That's the difference between me and you. So everybody has stuff. And I know you're dealing with stuff. The Almighty wants you to realize your potential in this world. And he's trying to squeeze the potential out of you. The worst thing on parent-teacher night, as some of you know, when you go in and the teacher tells you about your kid is so smart and so bright, but they're not realizing their potential. And you know your kid is just like skating through and just half listening, and they'll pass and they'll just, and you know, and you walk out, you feel sick. You know they have so much in them and they're not realizing their potential. So God put each one of us into this world. And the worst thing would be if we didn't realize our potential. If we wasted the opportunity the Almighty gave us. So what does he do? He throws challenges at us. Because I wish it was that we grew as people and we gained wisdom and we grew closer to God when good things are happening. But unfortunately, it's human nature that sometimes it has to be a task and a challenge before we really dig down and find out what we're made out of. My husband always says, better to come closer to God and grow as a person when good things happen, and don't wait for heavy things to happen. Because we could do it the easy way or we could do it the hard way. Choose the easy way. When our first child was engaged, our son Moshe, we were on our way to the vort, to the engagement party. And on our way, I said to my husband, there's so much bracha happening. There's so much good. What do you think Hashem is telling us? My husband pulled over the car on the way to the vort, and we sat on the street and we talked. Better to get Hashem's message and grow closer to Hashem and grow as a person when good things are happening. My husband never gets these calls. Rabbi, my life's a dream. My marriage is bliss. My kids could not be more respectful. I have more money than I could spend in 10 lifetimes. What do you think God is telling me? I want to get together with a rabbi to talk about it. Never. He gets the opposite calls. That's when they pick up the phone to talk to a rabbi. That's when they introspect. That's when they pray. Don't wait. When good things happen, that's when you stop. What is Hashem telling me? What's the message? How can I grow from this? So you're thinking, still, yeah, Lori, but if you only knew. If you only knew. Of course, I am feeling anxious, fearful, and worried because this is going on in my life. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not your situation that's creating your emotional reality, it's your thoughts. It's your thoughts. How do we know this? Let's take a family. Take a family. There's a trauma. God forbid, a divorce. Three kids in the family. One grows up, I'm never getting married. I hate men. Another one grows up to become a marriage counselor to help people in their marriage. Another one grows up. Three different reactions. It's not just because of three different personalities. Because it's not the situation that creates your emotional reality. It's your thoughts. I can take this heavy thing that happened in my life and try to make good in the world. Or I could take this heavy thing that happened in my life and retreat from the world. It's your choice. What's our goal in life when we're here being present? It's not always happy. Sometimes there's heavy things going on in your life, and people say to you, look at the bright side. Every black cloud has a silver lining. You know what? There's things that happen. There's no bright side. There is no silver lining. Our goal is not happy. It's yeshuva das. Yeshuva das is a settled mind. To be in a place where you can make choices that hopefully will lead to happiness, but you're going to make good and right choices. If you're making good and right choices, then you can see the pleasure, the joy, the bracha, the blessing. How do you make those good? Are you going to make, if you're in a state of worry, fear, and anxiety, are you going to make good choices? Good time to choose a doctor. Good time to make a significant purchase. Good time when you're in a state where you're freaking out. Good time to have a significant conversation. No. When you're in that state, don't choose a doctor. Don't have a significant conversation. And don't click send on the email. Gmail has something called Gmail Undo. Do you know about this? It's a feature of Gmail. Get it. I have it. And you have a few seconds after I send any email, I click send, and then Gmail undo, this thing pops up. It says, do you want to undo? I have a couple seconds to click undo. The person never got it if I click undo. Sometimes I see a typo, and that's why I do undo, and sometimes I click undo because I shouldn't send the email. Because once you send it, just try and take it back. But sometimes we're so angry, we're so upset, and we're so reactive. Just try and take it back. Where do you want to be? How do you know when you're in Yeshuva Das? It's the four C's: calm, clear, connected, and compassionate. That's what we're shooting for. Calm, clear, connected, and compassionate. When you're there, now make a choice. Now have a significant conversation. Now choose a doctor. Now make a major purchase. That's where you want to be. How do you get there? Whatever works, works. Whatever works, works. People have, you're doing a terrific job. I once spoke in Rochester, and there was a group of deaf Jews there, and I was giving my love, dating, and marriage class. This is an aside, okay? So they had an interpreter, and so I'm giving my love, dating, and marriage class, and then there's a point where I talk about, like, oh, it's one example I give, like, you see how women, in terms of attraction, it's very much inside out, and for men, attraction is very much outside in. So I have this whole scenario where I talk about, and you see a guy across the room, and he's very hot, right? So, which is a very regional term, okay? Like hot if I said this in London, they would turn up the air conditioning, okay? So in Chile, it's like it's you're a cat, and in Brazil, in Costa Rica, you're wapo. It's like the term for hot in terms of physical attraction is different wherever you go. So when I did it in Rochester and there was a deaf group there, they said hot in terms of physical attraction. How would you do it? Let's see what she does. You say a guy's hot, what would you do? You know what the interpreter did? She did this. Okay. Okay, sorry, an aside. Where was I? How do you get to Yeshuva Das? How do you get to that place where you're calm, clear, connected, and compassionate? So whatever works, works. Sometimes you sleep on it. One of the worst pieces of marital advice, I'm sorry if you think this is great, and I'm sorry if you give this advice, but I think it's really awful, is never go to sleep angry. Right, stay up, get really tired, and work it through when you're angry. Good job. Better to go to sleep angry and wake up and not be so angry and now talk it out. So sometimes you just sleep on it. Other options, meditation, prayer. You go for a run, a swim. Where is the number one place? Because you really have inner wisdom. You have inner wisdom. You actually know the answer to your problems right now. I want you, first of all, my Rebbetzin always says, there are no problems, there are only opportunities for growth. So let's think about your opportunity for growth. So what, right now in your head, something you're dealing with now, just bring it up into your head. I'm not going to ask you. You got it? Anybody need to borrow one? Okay, you got it? All right. So you think, I don't know, how am I going to solve this? This is like, there's so much, I don't know how to deal with this. If you had a friend who had the same issue as you, but it's her life, his life, and they come to you and they ask you for advice about this situation, I bet you would have great advice for them. I had one of our kids was getting their degree, and she called me up and she said, I can't take it. It's too much pressure. There's too much. I have these finals and they want us to memorize too much information. There's no way I can do it. I'm dropping out. I'm sorry, Ema, you wasted all your money and your time and I can't do it. I'm dropping out. That's it. And I said to this kid, I said, take a breath. I said, if your roommate, Rebecca, came to you and told you the exact same thing, what would you tell her? So my daughter's like, you're not listening to me. It's too much work. It's so much pressure. I'm going to drop out. I said, if Rebecca came to you and said the exact same thing to you, what would you tell her? Take a breath. So she said, if Rebecca came to me and she told me what I just told you, I would tell her, don't freak out, divide up your work, do a little bit every night, you'll be okay. I go, I think that's good advice. You actually know the answer, and you know which way to turn and the choices to make, but you can't hear it because of all the noise, because it's yours. and all the distractions and all the baggage and all the labels and all the fears and all the... But you do have it. So how do you clear the noise to get to the answer? Again, whatever works, works. According to the studies, what is the number one place, and what are you doing in that place, where you get that eureka answer? The answer comes, I got it. Where's the number one place? In the shower. Exactly. In the shower? Yes. Why? Because it's mindless. Because you're not thinking. You're trying to think your way out of your issue? Don't. You're just putting more thoughts in there. Let it go. Let it go. And wait for the answer. And wait for Yeshuva Das. Now, the Almighty also gives us people in our lives to help us to find that answer and to be able to make that choice and to turn the right way. That's why he says, make yourself a Rav. Have somebody in your life. Have rabbis and rebbetzins and people of wisdom in your life that you go to who are more objective about your life, because we're not, because it's ours. We're very subjective. And it's hard for us to see, just like you have the answer for your friend or your roommate, but you can't see it in yourself because we're very subjective. So you to go to somebody who is objective, and what does it mean to make yourself a Rav? It doesn't say choose a rabbi, select a rabbi, have a rabbi thrust upon you. Make them your Rav. Go to them. Rabbi Yitzhak Berkowitz, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of the Jerusalem Kollel, says create a relationship with them. Help them to understand who you are. Because if they're a great rabbi, a great Rav, if I went to them with a question and you went with the exact same question, they would give us two different answers. Because we're two different people. We're coming from two different places. We have two different situations. Halacha is not black and white. Jewish law, there's a lot of great, you're trying to get somewhere. You want to have that clarity, but there are strict opinions and then there are looser opinions. It's not black and white. So they know how, a Rav, a great Rav, will know how to apply Jewish law to you and to help to give you advice based on who you are. And we need to seek those people out. I have to tell you, if people call me up and they'll go like, you know, like let's say a woman and I'm being set up with this guy, can you check him out for me? No problem, somebody I know. So I will check the guy out. And one of the questions I'll ask him is, who's your Rav? And if the guy goes, you know, I don't really have one. So it's not a red light, but it's a flashing amber light, okay? Especially a man needs a Rav. King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, who was the smartest man who ever lived, okay, very, very, he needed a rabbi. Why would the smartest person need a rabbi? Because even King Solomon was not objective about his life. And then when his rabbi died, too many wives, too many horses, and he messed up. If you don't have a Rav, and if you're a woman and your husband doesn't have a Rav, make sure you get one. Otherwise, it's guaranteed you will mess up. You need somebody who's objective, who understands who you are, who has wisdom to go to for advice. Your local rabbi can do milk and meat. But life, important questions that could change the whole course of the history of your legacy of generations that come from you, hello, I think you better seek some wisdom. So you need to be in a place where you're not freaking out. Because if you go to your Rav, and you are, so maybe they can help calm you down, but you need to do the work and get to that place where you're calm, clear, connected, and compassionate. So one of the things that is blocking you and blocking me from getting to that clarity and getting to that place where we need to be is that the Almighty gives us something called your Yetzer Hara. Your Yetzer Hara. Your evil inclination. The part of you that wants instant gratification, social acceptance, wants to do what everybody else is doing, wants the easy way out. That's who Yetzirah. Now, everything from Hashem is good. Everything from the Almighty is good. God can't do bad. Everything from the Almighty is good. It may not feel good at the time. It may not look good at the time, but ultimately it's for our good. So why would God give us something that is going to trip us up? Wouldn't it be nice if we just had the Yetzer Tov, the desire to do good, the good inclination? Wouldn't it be great if our kids were only programmed for good? What do you think? Is that good? Is that good? They always will do the right thing. I don't know. It sounds good to me. Like, how much time do you spend worrying and educating and guiding and fixing and your kids and refereeing your kids? If they only were programmed to do good, they would never fight. They would always study. They would always be respectful. They would always do the right thing. They would always stay observant. Doesn't that sound good? For a few days, a few weeks. First of all, to me, it sounds boring also. All right. It's a little bit like you're a robot. Would you like to be programmed just to do the right thing and to do good? The Almighty gave us a gift. It's called Bechira, our free will. And free will, that's what differentiates us from animals. Our free will, an animal doesn't have free will. An animal has a desire, has a passion, and goes with that lust and desire. Sounds like some people we know also. But they're... A fox does not think, a fox is hungry, sees little baby chicks, does not think, oh, the mother would be so upset, I could always eat berries. No, it just eats the chicks. Free will is not chocolate ice cream, vanilla. I think I'll take chocolate. Free will is making a moral decision, choosing right versus wrong. And there's a part of us, remember the Bugs Bunny cartoons and like, Roadrunner, does anybody my age here? Okay, so you have like on either side, you know, the devil and the angel, and they're like, you know, the pitchfork and the halo, and they're like, you know, trying to get them. It's kind of like that. That's a cartoon personification of it. But there is a part of us that, again, wants the quick gratification and not the long-term gain. But then there's the part of us that, no, wants to do the right thing, even if it's hard, even if it's not popular, even if it means I have to wait, I want to do what's right. So why would it be good? Why is it good that God gave us a Yetzirah? Because when you know what your Yetzirah is and you work to overcome it, that's your springboard to greatness. We do want to realize our potential in this world. We do want to be the ultimate of who we can be. When you realize what's holding you back from that, and you work to overcome it, now we're talking. Now we're on our road to greatness. I used to think, mistakenly, that it was 95% nature, and no, 95% nurture and 5% nature. I used to think, I mistakenly and innocently and gullibly thought that I'm going to have a child. We're going to have these children, and they're going to be like sort of like a ball of clay, and I get to mold them into who I want them to be. Ha ha ha! Anybody here have more than one kid? Like, okay, right? Or even the first one? Like, really? You're going to make them into who you want them to be. The joke's on us. It's not 95% nurture and 5% nature. It's the opposite. It's 95% nature, and you get 5%. It's 95%. Your kid is who they are from birth. Some of the kids are sunny side up, and some of them are sunny side down by nature. This is the way God made them. Some kids are quick to anger, and some are just easy, schmeezy, easygoing. Some of them are very intellectual and complex inside. Some of them, what you see is what you get. Same parents, same womb, same gene pool, same house, same schools. What? This is who they are. you have to help them. So if you grow up and this is who you are, God says, yes, 95% of who you are is how I made you. Now change. Now work on yourself. There's no such thing in Judaism as, well, but that's just the way I am. You know, I'm just like a, you know, I'm very discerning. I'm a critical person by nature. It's part of my charm. There's no such thing. And I was teaching when I'm in the Rockville area, which is not so often, I wake up every morning, ask myself two questions. I'm serious. Every morning I ask myself two questions. I wake up, where am I? And is it Shabbos? A few weeks ago I woke up, where am I? I wasn't sure. I knew I was in Europe, and I knew it was Shabbos, and I wasn't sure, and it took me a while to remember I was in Amsterdam. So where was I? See, now I'm, where was I? Because where am I? I wake up every morning, I'm lost. What was I talking about just before that? 9% nurture, 5% nature. You're the best. Pardon? Oh, so you have to change. So I happen to be a person who is, I'm very flexible. My mother says I am I'm like a flower that you can transplant and you can put somebody at place else and bloom. Right? Really, and that's where I am. And my husband is not as flexible. So whenever my husband, you know, I want to move here, or I want to do this, I'm like, okay, fine, because I can do my thing anywhere. I really can. So you have to know, my mother says, my parents have been married for over 60 years. They live in Toronto. And my mother says, the reason your father and I have been married for so long is because your father doesn't like change. And truer words were never spoken, okay? A few years ago, they moved from a house that they lived in their whole married life and moved to a condo. My father is still recovering from this, okay? So you see, this is the way you are. Now work on yourself. Now work on yourself. You have to get to the point that the Almighty says, this is what I gave you, and these are the challenges, and these are the positive aspects of your personality, and these are the challenging aspects of your personality. So work. Work. Growing pains is called growing pains because real work and real growth comes with pain. It does. It takes a long time to work on a character trait, to overcome a character trait, and there are things that are holding us back. So your Yetzirah is good because when you know what it is, just like an alcoholic will stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic, even if they haven't had a drink in 20 years, your Yetzirah will always be your Yetzirah. And I discovered what mine was. And you have to figure out what yours is, which is a whole thing unto itself. But when you know this is your Yetzirah, this is the thing that's tripping you up. So when you hear that voice in your head, like, oh, what's going to be? Or you're so stupid. Or no one's ever going to like you. Or whatever it is, that voice that is your Yetzirah. When you know what it is, it's kind of like, it's almost like you're objective. Like, it's almost like you can step back from it. Oh, there's my Yetzirah. And you can have a louder voice. My Yetzirah is future worry. What's going to be? What's going? And as somebody posted on Facebook, worrying works. Most of what I worry about never happens. So worrying doesn't work. Worrying doesn't make things better. Worrying makes things worse. Because when you're worried about the future, what are you telling Hashem? Clearly, I'm in charge, and I'm worried that it's not going to work out. God is in charge of the future. Hashem put you into this world. We are human beings dwelling. We're living in the present, dwelling in the past, and worrying about the future. And the Almighty is not bound by time, because we are. God sees past, present, and future in one glance. He sees where you came from. He put you in that family. He gave you that parent. He gave you those challenges. He sees where you are. And because he's God, he even sees where you're going. Worrying? You don't know what's going to be. Whatever the Almighty throws at you, and as you know, we're taught, God doesn't send you a test that you can't pass. And then God sends the refuah. God sends the solution even before the challenge comes. You have everything you need. You don't think you do. But you have, if you get to that place of Yeshuva Das, you'll know that I have everything I need in order to deal with this, whatever God put in front of you. I don't know what's going to be in the future because it hasn't happened yet. Only God knows. So when I get that voice in my head, what's going to be? When we started the JWRP, the Jewish Women's Renaissance Project, our annual budget was the first year was $750,000. Because the women, it's a free trip for these women who are not observant to take this trip to Israel to have this transformational experience, to connect to Jewish values, to engage with Israel, to take action. And it's a free trip, not including airfare. So the first year we brought 300 women, it cost $750,000. And of the 8 women who started the JWRP, nobody wanted to be the fundraiser. So I said, I wasn't a fundraiser, I'm an educator. So I was like, okay, well, the first 3 letters are fun. I'll try. So it turns out it's not always so much fun. So I said, until we can hire a professional fundraiser, okay, I'll try. So people ask me, and to this day, they ask me, what's your fundraising plan? I go to people with money and I ask them for it. Okay, that's my plan. So the beginning, people gave me money based on my reputation. And then after a while, it was like, we have an unbelievable product. Like, this is... It's a total game changer, because if you inspire a woman, you inspire a family. If you inspire enough families, you inspire a community. If you can inspire enough communities, you can change the world. It's really happening. Now we have 190 partnering organizations in 26 countries. 13,000 people have come. It's unbelievable what's happening. You know what my annual budget is now? $10 million. If they would have told me when I started that you're going to have to raise millions of dollars, I would have run out of the room. I'm doing fine being Lori Palatnick. Everybody wants to hear me and applaud in books. I don't need this. But Hashem is like, da-do, da-do, da-do. Okay. First the babies are little, and then they go, oh, they're so cute and smushy. You just have to get tired. You're physically tired. And then they turn into teenagers and like, oh, nobody told me about this. And there's this whole roller coaster. And then you're worried about and getting the shidduchim and getting them married. So Hashem's like, da-do, 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 da-do. The tests do get greater, but you're a greater person. And the Almighty has brought you people into your life to handle it. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, where we are lost in different aspects of our life. And we're trying to think it out. And we're freaking out. And we're worrying about the future. Or we're dwelling on the past. And we're living in this illusion. And we're not being real. And we're not in Yeshuva Das at all. And we're so lost. Sometimes, just like when I moved to Washington, I'm so lost. And I had to call up my husband. We have to call up the Almighty. And say, Hashem, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. But please, please, come and get me. And he will. Thank you very much.